All right, once again, I want to just thank you for coming out. I know the Lord thanks you. Lord bless you for your effort. But tonight, I just want to go over some things tonight about the church, about, you know, maybe y'all may, you know, maybe getting tired of hearing it, but, you know, we need to do all we can for the church. We need to do all we can for each other. Because if we don't, no one else will. So we need to just remember that. And I'm going to, let's see. 1 Corinthians. Where is it? I think it's good. Maybe 2 Corinthians. All righty. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3 in verse 3 down through 7, and we may get over to chapter 5 too of this chapter 4 and verse 3. Does anybody want to just thank the Lord for something that he's done for you this week? Anybody?
I had two rough days, preacher, and the Lord touched me. I never did it.
Amen.
I had one sleepless night. I mean, it was practically all night. And I just thank him for touching me, making me feel better.
Amen. Amen. Tell you what, we don't, you know, we don't thank him enough. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading in verse 1, go to verse 7 or 8 there. But it's chapter 4 and verse 1 in 2 Corinthians. And it's speaking about the ministry. It's speaking about the ministry as a whole. And it just does not come down to just the preacher. It's speaking about the church. Anytime you speak about the ministry, I believe the Lord is speaking about each and every one that's in the body of Christ here in the church. And it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have this ministry that God has given each one of us by what? By his mercy. We have received his mercy to where we can be able to go and work at his ministry. And as we have received mercy, we faint not. Other words, we just don't slack up. We just don't sit down and take a nap or go to sleep, because God always has something for us to do. And that's speaking about the honesty right there. That's being honest with yourself. And not only that, we see right here in verse 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We see right here that in verse 1, we're speaking about the honesty. Right here, we can also see where not only the honesty, but it's also telling us we need to watch out, because if we don't watch out, we can be dishonest. And we don't need to be dishonest, but having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We need to remember before we, and I'm guilty of this sometimes, before we open mouth, we need to engage our heart and engage our mind. Because if we don't watch it, then something probably will come out through the lips, through the stammering tongue that we have, and it may come out as deceitfulness and walking in the craftiness of the devil. And it says, not handling the word of God deceitfully. We can, it says, handling the word of God deceitfully. We can use that right there as our daily walk, our daily chores. We need to watch out, because it's not a thing that we don't do during the day or during the week or at night, even when we sleep. That's not in this word. That's not here. Everything that we do, God has something to say about it. So we need to be mindful of it. We need to be mindful of what we do say. It will honor the Lord Jesus. And honor Him, and honor Him only. And we should not worry about it if we're going to pat our own selves on the back. Because we don't have no cause of patting our own self on the back, because we haven't done anything. But we need to, if we're going to pat anybody on the back, and we need to give them praise, it's the Lord Jesus, because He's done everything for us. He's done everything for us. He's going to do everything for us. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake none of us. But even that, when we do come up and we slip, and we do all the time, I slip up every day, because the Bible, it's not because the Bible says so, but it's because of who I am. I slip up. I slip up why? Because I have the sinful flesh hanging on the bones that I have. And it's sinful. It cannot enter in the portals of glory. That's the reason we're going to have a glorified body. And it's going to be like unto the Son of God. Except for one thing. We're going to notice His scars. We're not going to have no scars. Because we're going to have the glorified body. We're going to be perfect in every aspect. Why? Because He was once perfect. And He still is perfect. But when we become perfect, it's because we have matured enough in our life, in our walk with God, that we will mature to the point that we won't worry about this or that, because we know what the Bible teaches. And I believe anything that we do, and we do it to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to help us along the way. He's going to teach us. And I thank God for that. But it says right here, and says in verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But if our gospel, that's the burial, that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. if it's hidden and we don't share it, then the lost will not hear it. We have to go and we have to tell the lost. We have to tell the world, and we can tell the world by not even saying a thing. By our walk, by our actions, by our talk, when they hear us talk to someone else. We should not want to hide the gospel. No one didn't hide it from me. They come and they brought the gospel to me. And that's the only way that I heard it, was when somebody brought the gospel to me. And we must hear the gospel. We must be encouraged every time that we come to the house of God. I'm encouraged by your presence every time. I am encouraged. And you need to be encouraged. I know maybe sometimes you may not like the message, or maybe it's something about me that maybe you particularly don't like. But we have to come in with the mind and a mindset that we're going to get something out of the service. If it's not but one little nugget we get, that's enough. Because it's a whole lot of people, they go to church and they don't close the mind out. The first thing they will say after they get in, after getting sat down, they'll say, "I'll be so glad when 8 o'clock gets here. I'll be so glad when 12 o'clock gets here." They've got a closed mind. And God cannot work with a closed mind. We have to open our eyes. We have to open our minds. We must open our hearts. We must allow Him to use every aspect of strength that we do have. And He gives us strength to use all of these different things that we have. He gives us strength to use our mind the way He wants it to be used. He gives us strength to be able to speak the words that He wants us to speak. And He gives me the strength to where I can be able to stand. I may stumble a little bit, and I may seem like I may fall. But He is still giving me strength to where I can go and where I can do. I thank Him every day for that. There was a time, I walked, I could run, I could jump over this balustrade and land straight on my feet. I can't do that now. But when I could do it, I wasn't thinking nothing about it. But see now, why, since I can't, I thank the Lord for what I can do. And I should have been thanking Him the whole time and what I could do back then. But it was so many things we take for granted every day in our life. We take life for granted. We do. We take life itself for granted. We don't think about our life in the way that we need to think about it. And the way that we need to think about our life is not hiding the gospel to the people that don't have it. Because see, if they don't have it, it's because of the local church, the ones that saved, they have took the gospel and they've hid it so deep in their heart that they're not willing to share it with anyone. Do you know anybody like that? You can go up to them, talk to them, and they go to church. I'm saved. I can tell you exactly when I got saved, tell you exactly what the preacher preached on. I can tell you the day, the hour, the time, and everything. And all that's good. But unless you share it, what good is it to you? You just said, no, this is mine. He died for me, and I won't share that. I won't keep it close to me. But then see, that's not where the blessings come from. The blessings come from when we go out and share it to the lost, where the gospel has been hid from them for so long. You know, I don't know what it's called today. I don't know how they look at Daniel today, but I know at one time, this was back in the probably early 60s, that they was spoken by Danville as being the city of the service station, because you had a service station on every corner. Then in the 60s, in the latter part of the 60s, going into the 70s, then it went from that to there was a city of churches. They didn't mention anything about the city of the gospel. They say the city of the churches. Well, we can have a church, but we don't have to have the gospel in it. And there's plenty that don't. But unless the preacher gets up here and preaches, unless the people know that Jesus did die for them, and he paid the ultimate price for them, what are we here for? We're here to just take up space. If I'm not going to stand up here and let you know every now and then, or maybe every service, that Jesus died for you. He died for you. And it was through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. He died for me, and that's the reason I can call him my Savior today. That's the reason I can call him my friend. That one time before 1980, I couldn't call him my friend because he wasn't my friend. But for 30 years, when I didn't even recognize him and I didn't call him my friend, he called me his friend. As it says it right over in the book of John, chapter 15. It tells us that when it was once on the cross, when it was at hand that day, he had me, he had you, he had that lost individual on his heart. That's what he died for. He died for me, he died for you, he died for this whole world. And he's got the whole world right here in the palm of his hands. I don't know what size palm he's got, but I'll tell you this, it may not be no larger than what mine is, but he has it in the palm of his hands. Everybody, there's not one individual left out that's breathing today. Not one individual is left out of the palm of his hands. But then, when we're introduced to it, and then when we say yes to him, and we ask him to save our soul and to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness and to cleanse our heart and to make our heart pure as white as snow, because his blood turned our wickedness, our blackness, that where our heart was deceitful. His red crimson blood that day. And when I accepted him, he took his blood. Now, don't ask me to explain it, but I can't. Only thing I can tell you is what the Bible said.
He shed his blood. Every drop. There wasn't a speck left. When I come and accepted him as my Savior, he took his blood and he washed me. From the inside, he washed my heart of the blackness and the corruption that it was. Now when the Father looks at my heart, he don't see my heart as corrupt. He don't see my heart as black. He don't see no sin there. He sees where his Son's blood made my heart as white as snow. Now, I can take a t-shirt at the house, and I mean, if I cut myself or something like that, and just what blood I had, I mean, I can get it all over me. My wife can go in there and wash it. It ain't gonna come out. I'm Jewish, but so it ain't gonna come out. That's the difference between my blood and his blood. Well, see, what you see is on the outside. Thank God he looks on the inside. Thank God he looks on the inside. Why? Because it's not hidden. It's been changed. It's been renewed. And I love this analogy, and I really do. See, ever since I first heard it, he's the only individual. He's the only surgeon. He is the only doctor that anybody can ever go to, and he can do a heart transplant on you and not leave a scar. And when I heard that, Lord have mercy. I said, well, praise God. I said, one of these days I might have to have a heart transplant here on earth. They're going to have to open me up, and they're going to have to put staples in me and everything in my chest and everything. And then it's going to leave a scar there.
But we'll see when I get to heaven. Ain't going to be no scar. Because see, scars can be there. Why? Because they are man-made. The only scars that's going to be in heaven is the scars that we put on our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way we're going to recognize it. And the first time I preached, first time I said that, and I was preaching it, and I come down after the service and everything, and I was shaking the hands at the door. And somebody asked me, told me, said, "Preacher, I really enjoyed the message, except for one thing. You said one thing that was wrong." I said, "What was that?" Because, I mean, you know, if I do say something wrong, I mean, and if I do, it's out of the ignorance of me. It's not out of the ignorance of God's word. It's out of the ignorance of me because it come out the wrong way. And I'm not ashamed to admit, yes, sometimes I am wrong. And I know that. But see, Jesus Christ is never wrong. We don't have to look at the negative of what everybody's thinking and what everybody says. We need to look at the positive of what they say. And if we're looking at the positive of what they say, then they're going to feel better and we're going to feel better. But any time that we feel worse than what we are, it's because we look on the negative of everybody. It's not an individual in him that I could not even, I could say something negative about each one of what you said sometimes. But why should I concentrate on the negative when the negative is not going to do nothing for me? Only thing the negative is going to do is going to bring me down. Same way with me. I'm sure some things that I say and some things that maybe I've preached about, that you can take it and you can look at it and you can analyze it all you want to and go by God's word and you can pick something out of it. Negative. What's that going to do for you? That's not going to encourage you. I'm human just like you. You're human just like me. We all make mistakes. We all sin and come short of the glory of God every single day. Every single day. But I sure am thankful
that, praise God, that when I said
that, as that individual says, everything you preached, I really liked everything except for one thing. You said it. I disagree with you. I said, what's that? He said, you said something about it. You don't have the glorified body. You won't have no scar. So that's what the Bible says. And I says, not going to be one that's going to have the scar. And that's going to be Jesus Christ. He said, I disagree with you on that. I says, okay. I said, I want to ask you something. You disagree with me, that's okay. I mean, you know, whatever. When you get to heaven, if you go to heaven, when you get there, how are you going to recognize Jesus for someone else? He said, well, I went, because, you know, I got the visionary of what he looks like. I said, no wonder. Have you got the visionary of what you think he looks like? Or have you got the visionary of what all these artists put out here with the long hair and with the robe and everything? Have you? I said, if you have, what you've got to realize in, then we can come into this church here. And I can stand behind this pulpit, and you can sit there in the congregation, and we can all have like something like a guano sack, like a dress like that. And we can have sandals on our feet with no socks. And I can be up here with no seat. No white shirt, no tie. I said, we're not living in that day. That was for that day. If Jesus Christ, if he came back right now, if we was living in this day when he came. When he came and when he walked around on this earth, you think he would have walked anywhere? No, he would have had an automobile. And it wouldn't have been a two-door sedan either. It would have been a station wagon. It might have been a great big old pickup. It could have been one of these great big old vans they got out here. Well, he could take the people. Allow the people to go with it. And I said, do you think that he would go out there and representing the Father with old rags on? When he had something at the house, butter. When he had suits or something like that, you think that he would wear jeans that had these twat knees? And I mean, before when I buy jeans or when I go to the store to buy anything, I make sure there ain't got no holes in it. But to me, it looks like they just put the holes out. They just went out here and just grabbed somebody's old jeans or something like that, and they just go in and wash them, and then wash them again, and wash them, and then they got their whitewashed all over them, and then they got holes here and here and there. Man, why does people want to do that? I don't know. I mean, if they like it, it's fine. But I don't like it. But that's okay.
But I said that for a reason.
I said that. There has to be a way that when everyone gets to heaven, that we're going to be able to tell the difference between Jesus and someone else. Because just think about this now. I don't know if y'all have noticed, lately my appetite's come back a little bit and I've put on a little weight. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be 33 years old. I'm going to have a glorified body. I'm going to have it perfect. It's going to be thin. So anybody can go to me. Hey man, look like Jesus. I'm gonna go over to him. It ain't gonna happen, but we just got to recognize him. How do we recognize him today? And what he done on Calvary? That's how I recognize him. That's how I recognize him, because you hung between heaven and earth. And he took the scars of my sin. There was that. He put them up on himself. Just think about them scars. Scars. One, two, three, four. This scar right inside. The fifth scar. You know what number five represents in God's word? It represents the grace of God. It represents his grace. And the word grace, I analyzed it. I mean, I ain't analyzed it, but you know, I just searched each and every letter up. And I've come up with this. Grace. G. It was God. It was God that provided the way. R. Redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ. He brought redemption to me. And to you, if we would accept it. Then A, authority, or at authority. He is the authority of everything that we do. He is not the author of confusion. He is the author of reality. And C, God's redemption at his authority, Christ. Christ. We're going to stop right there, four. But no, I'm not going to stop right there. I can't. Got one more letter. And the last letter is E. And that letter right there represents so many things about our Lord and Savior. It represents about the extent
and what he went to for me and you. And he went and he shared the expense of what he done on Calvary that day. And with all of that in mind, he offered me and he offered you eternal life through his marvelous grace. We have eternal life. You know what that means? Think about it. What does eternal life mean? It means eternal life. What does eternal life mean? It means forever. What does ever mean for? It means forever. Ever, ever, ever. It's no turning back. So when God saved my soul, I was saved for eternity. He could not take it back. He could not condemn me to hell. Why? Because what I've got is because of his blood. He was willing to share his blood with my life. Ain't you so thankful that he was willing to share his love for you? And he was willing to share his blood for your life? He didn't have to do that. He could have told the Father, his Father says, you know, I don't need this vinegar. I don't need all of this. I don't need all the anguish and everything. Father, just say, you're saved. I don't want to. I don't want to hang that. I don't want to hang that as a martyr between heaven and earth. Because see, his feet won't touch any ground. So he was hanging between heaven and earth. Some people said he was hanging between heaven and hell. He was. That too. But while he was hanging there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them for placing me on the cross. Forgive the ones that took the hammer and he placed that great big old spike right hit my wrist. Forgive him. Father, forgive him that took the other spike and put it in my other wrist there. Forgive him. For he knows not what he does. When he took the other spike and when he placed it in his feet, when he crossed his feet over. See, now see, he had a little, it was a little, like a little shelf there. And the reason that was for was to keep him to where he wouldn't completely just lose all gravity. And it wouldn't just pull him apart. But they took that spike and they put it down on his feet. And when they took it down, I believe that each time that they hit that nail, every nail was hit five times. I can't find it in God's word, but that's what I, because, reason I say five, because it's speaking of grace. And then when they took that spear and opened his side up, they didn't go down like that. They just ripped his side open. And then fluid.
There's a particular name for it. But this fluid from his heart and everything. His heart just exploded. He died with a broken heart. He didn't die because he was hung down on the cross. He died because of a broken heart. His heart was so broke that his father was willing for him to go that way. I don't know. That's what I feel. I feel like that his heart was just broken. It was broken why? Because of some of the people that was there around the cross that day that walked with him and followed him and talked to him and spoke to him and even walked with him as far as when he went up in the mountain that afraid. They followed him. What did Peter do? I mean, they wanted Peter to take someone's life. He said, no. What did Peter do? Bam! Took off his ear. But I shouldn't have thought in him going through all of that. He was thinking, I said, Don, that's for you. That's for you. I want to be your sister. See, he knew one day I would be in existence. Just like all of the newborn, just like all these newborn babies, just like all of these babies that has been aborted by the ignorance of this world, the allow the doctors and the individuals to be able to abort that child. You know something, that child's not been crazy. You know where that child is at? It's right there with Jesus. Why? What does he speak about? He speaks about my little children. You have to come as a child, by faith, to believe and trust in him.
To believe and trust in him. For God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, we thank you for what words, Father, that you allowed us to speak tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, Father, that the people will get something from this message. Father, they will not nitpick it or anything like that. They would not look at the negative point of it. But Father, they would get something positive out of it. Father, the way I could encourage their walk and their service for thee. Now, Lord, we just pray, God, now. As fathers, everyone stands and to get a book out, Father, as they turn to the song and as they sing. Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, if anything was said tonight that touched them in a way that they need to just come and thank you for it. Thank you for that touch. Thank you for the gospel. And help them that they'll never hide. the gospel from the lost. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.